thinking Joni's here. Yeah.
Joni Scudder's here.
Thank you. She speaks for all of us.
Yeah.
I just thanks again for all of you for coming to this event. And tonight is really not a Republican event. It's really not a partisan event. This is an Iowa event. What Governor Branstad and the First Lady, Chris Branstad, have accomplished just by being themselves, just by being here, has been enormous. And what we wanted to do, and this turned out very well when we did this in Davenport and Sioux City, and we thought that we would do it again, although I'm wondering if Governor Branstad gives the same answers since Chris Branstad is here, our First Lady, but we're going to see about that. I also wanted to say, Governor...
She'll correct me if I'm wrong.
Okay. And I just want to thank, we got a couple of statewide leaders here, thanks to Gwen Eklund and her great organization, the Iowa Federation of Republican Women. And we have a new president or chair of the College Republicans, Michael Fredrickson from Iowa State, and so many more of all of you doing this great thing. So, Governor, we're going to get comfortable, and I just want to talk to you just a little bit about you, the Terry Branstad behind the scenes, behind the trappings of the governor's office. But first, I want to talk just a little bit. I think we have someone from a town where you lived that would like to present you something. And so I believe we have an outstanding Republican from Boone, Iowa, that would like to come up and give you something that you can take with you all the way to China. So Gary Nystrom from Boone has a presentation he'd like to make to the governor.
Thank you. Governor Branstad, and for you in the audience, Governor Branstad, Chris, and their family moved to Boone and lived in our county for about 10 years. Of course, they reached out like they do all the time and get involved in a lot of community efforts. We in Boone feel like he's one of ours, him and Chris and the family. And we just can't say enough of what he's done for our community, for our county, and of course we know what he's done for the state. So Governor Branstad, we've put this little plaque together, and it has some pictures of some different things in Boone that I know you and Chris and the family did, places you visited, things you were involved with, and we just want to say thank you, and we want to wish you the best of luck in your venture, and we know what you'll do, we know what you've done in the past, and we just want to give you a very hearty thank you very much.
Thank you, Gary.
And one other pair before we get into the questions, I'd be remiss if I also did not thank and welcome our national committee man, Steve Scheffler, and our national committee woman, Tamara Scott. Where are you at? They will be crucial in preserving our first in the nation status. So, Governor, we want to find out just a little bit more about you behind the scenes. And everyone has role models, and I know you've talked often of your mom and dad. Could you reminisce just a little bit about what your mom and dad meant to you in terms of the man you are today and the leader that you've become?
Well, I grew up on a small farm in Winnebago County. My dad was a farmer, and my mom, housewife, but she also sometimes worked at Reuben's department store. But my dad taught me how to work hard. I mean, we used to put in long days. We had a lot of chores. We had a diversified farm, so we had cattle, hogs, sheep, chickens, and when I was younger, we even had workhorses. That's how old I am. But after we put in a long day in the field and did the chores, and our barn was down the low ground and the house was up on the hill, my dad used to say, well, we didn't get much done today, but we'll give it heck tomorrow. And as a kid, I thought, we'd done a lot. My mother was Jewish. She had a tremendous commitment to education. And she always used to say, get a good education because they can't take that away from you. And when I ran for the legislature the first time in 1972, she was very concerned about me not finishing law school because I had just finished 1 year of law school. I assured her that I would, and I worked it between legislative sessions and just graduated to summer school late. So my mom and dad both had a huge influence on me, and I'm very much indebted to having a great family that supported and encouraged me in everything from school to sports and everything else, and setting ambitious goals.
Well, I know I can say with certainty they're certainly proud of you now going to China, that's for sure. Now, tonight is about Governor Branstad, but it's also about two people. It's a wonderful First Lady. Somebody, I was doing today, and they asked me to sum up Governor Branstad in one word. I had a hard time doing that. Then they asked summing up the First Lady in one word. And for Chris Branstad, it was fairly simple, classy. I think that was holding herself with class and integrity. You did well, Governor, and we'd like to know, how does a North Iowa farm boy get a catch like that? I mean, that's pretty good. Can you tell us a little bit about when you fell in love, and any details would be great.
Well, first of all, Chris was born in Fort Dodge, and we have certainly capitalized on that, Webster County. We've never lost in Webster County, thanks to my wife and her family. But she grew up here on the south side of Des Moines, 8151 Dima Drive. And our very first date was, I think, October 23rd, 1971, to Drake's homecoming. Some of you know John Maxwell, who has been Chuck Grassley's kind of a political consultant for all of his campaigns. I introduced him to Chuck Grassley, but he introduced me to Chris. So John and I had a double date with Chris and a friend of hers to Drake's homecoming in 1971, and we went to a Helen Reddy concert afterwards. That was our first date. But she invited me to go to Mass with her the next day, and we went to Christ the King, which is the church we go to now, and that's the church she grew up in. And after Mass, we had dinner. We called it dinner because it's noontime, you know, and I grew up on the farm, so. And her mom and dad's house, and I said, I want to become a Catholic, because I knew that she was a close-knit Catholic family, and this is the girl for me. And so I took instructions and converted before we were actually married on June 17th of 72. Anybody know what happened on June 17th of 72? That's correct, a Watergate break-in. So I have a pretty good excuse, or alibi, I guess you might say. I know where I was on June 17th, 72. Christ the King Church, right here in the south side of Des Moines.
I'm going to have to ask, we have a few press folks here. Just so you're getting close to a hearing in Congress, I would ask that we have a silence on the Helen Reddy attendance. I don't know that that's going to be good, especially for the Republican votes you're going to need, Governor. Tell the crowd just a little bit about what motivated you to first run for office, and then what motivated you the last time that you ran for office.
Well, the first time, I've got to say, a couple of eighth grade teachers really are the ones that got me interested in government and public service, Lyra Seawick and Fred Smith. Lyra Seawick taught U.S. history. She taught the three R's of good government. We all know about the Bill of Rights, rights that we have as American citizens. But she also taught us about respect for other people and their rights, and responsibility of being a good citizen, being honest and working hard and giving back and helping others. And then Fred Smith was the Iowa history teacher, and he really got me interested in Iowa and our history, wonderful heritage. And he also was our baseball, basketball, and football coach. So he was a motivator too. And those two teachers, from there on, I knew I wanted to go into a career of public service, and they had a big influence on my life.
How about the last couple of elections, Governor?
Well, Of course, after serving 16 years as governor, four terms, I then went on to become a financial advisor with Robert W. Baird and then became the president of Des Moines University. And I had a great job at Des Moines University. I'm proud to say that we grew the enrollment, we grew the endowment. We were the first college or university to get the Wellness Council of America's platinum recognition for what we did for faculty, staff, and students. And I even won over the faculty. Little things like having lunch with the faculty, going to faculty meetings and listening, and then speaking off campus about Des Moines University. I'll bet you very few people know that Des Moines University trains more family practice physicians than any other medical school in America. Very proud of that. It's a great school. So I have this great job. It pays a lot more than being governor. But I'm watching what's going on and the mess that the state is in. Chet Culver is putting the state into significant debt, spending more than we're taking in, massive across-the-board cuts, not paying attention to the responsibilities of the office. And then I had some people that recruited me to come back. And there's two of them. One of them, my chief of staff, and the other one is my legislative liaison, Michael Bougelot and Ted Stopulis. They were seniors at the Drake Law School. They started a movement on Facebook to draft me to run for governor again. Now, they got about 10,000 people to sign up. And even my kids, who when they were teenagers, hated the fact that their dad was governor, they even got them involved in it. So, and Bruce Rastetter put a group of prominent Iowans together at his farm and encouraged me to consider it. And, you know, we saw the film office fiasco scandal. We saw the fiasco with the 10% across the board cut. And by the time we got to October, I was ready to say yes to the draft, and I came back.
Absolutely. I almost got you to announce your candidacy in my backyard. Almost.
You came very close. And I got to give Jeff credit because he's probably given me the best introductions I've ever had. And I remember that at the farm over there. East of Iowa City.
Great material to work with, great introductions. It's that simple. Two things about Governor Branstad I think all Iowans can agree, of all political stripes. One is that is his honesty and integrity, and he never forgot where he came from. And the second is he dearly loves this state. He loves his state with all his heart. I know that. I'm going to ask you a simple question. Why do you love this state so much that you have literally given the bulk of your life to serving it?
Well, first of all, I grew up here and I got all the benefits of the love and caring of the people of Iowa. There's no better place in the world to raise children than here in Iowa. And we have a great education system. We have friends and neighbors that really care and reach out to help other people. And so it is the best place there is to live, to work, to raise a family. And so that's why. And I spent 2 years in the Army. And I was honored to serve during the Vietnam era. It was not an easy time. But I really gained an appreciation for what we have in Iowa after I'd been away for 2 years. And then I decided, you know, this is where I wanted to be.
Well, thank goodness you made the right decision. That's for sure. Can you talk just a little bit about a particularly difficult decision that you've had to make and how you approach those kind of decisions? Governor, obviously, you've had hundreds. Can you think of an example of a particularly difficult decision?
Well, the farm crisis of the 80s, I grew up on a farm, on a family farm, and in 19, I became governor in January of 83. In the first 4 years, land values dropped 63%. We closed 38 banks. It's a very stressful time. I remember addressing I made the condition of the state address to the Iowa legislature one time. The galleries were packed with people carrying white crosses to symbolize the death of the family farm. So the farm crisis in the 80s was really a tough time for a lot of families here. And we worked very hard to restructure agriculture debt. We put together the Farm Crisis Hotline. And I really went to bat at the federal level to get debt restructuring of the farm credit system as well. And I think that was probably the most challenging time I went through. But I'm also proud of the fact that simultaneously as we were trying to help people going through the farm crisis, we also were diversifying the economy and focusing on things like adding value to agriculture through things like ethanol and biodiesel and wind energy. And now that's turned out to be a great success. And also bringing insurance and financial services jobs to Iowa. So I'm proud of the fact that we faced a very severe farm crisis, but we also came out of it stronger and better and more diversified. And we're now seeing the benefits of the tough decisions we made back then.
Absolutely. One fact about Governor Branstad that not all of you may be aware of, and that is in President Reagan's diaries, Governor Branstad is mentioned three times. President Reagan knew this young man, I believe he called you, from Iowa. He knew that he was not going to take no for an answer in terms of helping the citizens back here. I've seen it in that diary. You went to bat for us. Can you talk a little bit about your relationship with Ronald Reagan?
Well, first of all, I was an early and strong supporter of Ronald Reagan. In 1976, I was a 29-year-old state representative. The party, and Mary Louise Smith was a Republican national chairman from Iowa, and she was close to President Ford. Governor Ray and the party leaders were all for President Ford. But I thought Ronald Reagan really had the charisma and the right philosophy to lead our country back from the malaise that we were in at that time. And, I actually helped recruit Ray Higge to be the Reagan state chairman. And so one of the stories that I love to tell is during that campaign, we had our district convention. That time we had six districts in Iowa, and I was assigned to try to organize the sixth district, Northwest Iowa, for Reagan. Ronald and Nancy Reagan came to the Hotel Savory, and some of you younger people don't remember this, but we used to have phone booths. They had a phone booth. They had a phone booth at the top of the staircase at the Savory, and there was a big crowd around, and I wanted to brief candidate Reagan before he spoke to our district convention. So Ronald and Nancy Reagan and I got in the phone booth, the three of us, and I told Ronald Reagan the issues I thought would be important, and he came out and gave a great speech. And what we did in that district and the other districts, we basically split the vote, and Reagan got about half the delegates from Iowa, even though all the party leadership was on the other side. So, and of course, Reagan lost in a very close vote at the national convention in Kansas City. But Ray Higge, after that, and I so respected Ray. He'd been a former state senator. He'd been head of the Iowa Manufacturers Association. He was chair of our Reagan campaign, and he said to me, "You know, if you ever want to run for public office, I'd support you." And then that really led to me deciding to run for a lieutenant governor when that office became open then. This is when we used to elect the governor and lieutenant governor separately in 1977, and then I was elected in 78.
Two more questions. As I said at in the introduction of the lieutenant governor, that in my opinion, a true leader is one that leaves the organization of the state in great hands. On a scale of one, I don't want to put you on the spot, but I'm going to. On a scale of 1 to 10, where would you rate your lieutenant governor, Kim Reynolds, and why?
11. Every assignment I've ever given her, she's exceeded expectations. And I'm talking about leading the Governor's STEM Council. She's taken us from being way down to being absolutely a national leader in STEM, leading trade missions. When I couldn't go to China, in our first year in office, she led the group, and I heard such great feedback from the great impression that she made. And then I saw what she did as a county treasurer. From a small rural county, Clark County, she was selected as the best county treasurer in America. Now that's quite an accomplishment. And then, if you haven't heard this story, and I probably told it a lot of times, but when I asked Kim to run for lieutenant governor with me, she was already in the state senate, and in the middle of a four-year term, and I said, now I'm thinking ahead. Now, after we win this election, there'll have to be a special election to replace you in the state senate. Now, I hope you've got somebody good in mind. She says, don't worry. I've got a friend named Joni Ertz. She'd be perfect. Like I say, she's very well prepared. She knew more about the state budget than former Governor Culver ever did. And she met every department head. And she's that kind of hardworking, conscientious person that wants to know the details. And we've seen this as we work together on the budget, on appointments, on legislation. And she's got the same rural, conservative philosophy that I think serves Iowa, all of Iowa, very well. So I'm no doubt in my mind that she's going to be a great governor, and I'm looking forward to the great things that she'll accomplish.
You know, that Helen Reddy concert might have been many decades ago, but I think he learned something. I am woman, hear me roar. Definitely. I want to end where I know your heart is and where your leadership has always been, and that is looking towards the future, our children, our grandchildren. There are a lot of young people here this evening. What advice would you give the young people of Iowa to become leaders and to make a difference like you have?
Well, I have something I call the ingredients of success. The first thing is always have a positive attitude. Everybody's going to have some setbacks in their life. But even when you have a setback, always have a positive attitude, because people with a positive attitude are fun to be around. Secondly, set goals. And set ambitious goals are what you want to accomplish, and then work hard. Work hard. Those are two four-letter words that will never get you in trouble. And I always say, I've never lost an election, but nobody's ever outworked me. And I think that's important. And then look for opportunities. And there's the great inventions, the great ideas have come from people that saw opportunities where other people didn't. And then be willing to adjust and change with the circumstances and the times. Obviously, today is a lot different with the social media than it was when I first started in politics. But personal contact is still extremely important. And finally, give back and help other people. And what you do to help other people, and I think that's one of the things that's helped me, because I go to every county every year, as the lieutenant governor does, as Chuck Grassley does, as Joni Ernst does. You get the opportunity to meet people and do things to try to help people, and those things make a difference. And so when somebody attacks you and people really know you and know that you really care, they know better. And so that's one of the things I just encourage young people, you know, those ingredients of success. Positive attitude, work hard, you know, set realistic goals, make the adjustments and look for the opportunities, and always give back. And I found that serves well, and that my observations of successful people is those are the things, the attributes that really have worked for everybody.
Great advice, timeless advice. I'm going to turn the microphone over to Governor Branstad to end the evening, but let me just try. This is our third farewell. We have actually did not speak before we did the first one, and we have not planned anything out. You're hearing Governor Branstad uncensored and from the heart, and I think it's reinforced what we all knew. He's got a good heart. He's got an Iowa heart. That's why all of us are here tonight. And First of all, First Lady, thank you. You have sacrificed. You have let us look up to your husband. You had let us follow your husband through a lot of thick and thin. It does not go unnoticed, the sacrifices you have made and the way that you have represented this state. We are proud of you. You are a classy lady, and Godspeed on your way to China. And Governor Branstad, I'm a student of history, as I know you are. In fact, it's been one of the things that probably makes your staff a little, when I come in, it's usually they sit there and they tap, and because we're talking about history instead of what I came in for. There is once-in-a-lifetime leaders that become legends. Sometimes those legends are made after you've had time to reflect on their leadership. What's unique about you is you become a legend while you are still leading. A living legend. That is so unique. And for our state of 3 million, to have someone like you for so many years, there's not really a word to describe the interaction of you and Iowa. Not only just you and all of these folks that we know love you so much. And yeah, I know sometimes Iowa men have a hard time saying love, but you know what? This full room in here tonight, and all of these people here tonight, myself included, we love you, Governor Branstad. We love you for who you are.
Jeff Kaufman, thank you very much. And I love the job you're doing for the Republican Party of Iowa. The great team that we have. I mean, we had a great year in 2016. You know, Donald Trump carried 93 of 99 counties. We defeated 6 incumbent Democrat senators. We picked up 2 new Republican, we picked up 2 more House Republican seats. And we have 3 of the 4 congressional seats. We have both of our senators. And Grassley and Ernst are great to work with. So we are really blessed. But we can't take anything for granted. You know, you got to work hard every day and prove that we are the right people to lead. And I believe this session of the legislature is a good example that Iowans chose people that are willing to work hard and make tough decisions. And I consider it one of the most productive sessions, and it will go down as a very much a landmark session in terms of really making Iowa more competitive and protecting the safety and the rights of the citizens of Iowa. So I want to thank the members of the legislature for their good work. We just completed this long and difficult session, although it wasn't that long compared to some. I also want to say there's a lot of special people in Iowa, and my wife is probably at the top of the list because she's put up with an awful lot. And I want to thank her, and I want to thank our children. We have 3 grown children, their spouses, 7 grandchildren. I feel really blessed, and a lot of the credit for the success of our family goes to my wife and the attention that she's given to making sure that these children and grandchildren really have the best life and best opportunity. So, Chris, thank you very much. You know, we're competing with another real important event in Iowa tonight, and that is the iClub is hosting, this is a big Hawkeye event, and Kurt Ferentz is in town. But guess what? Mary Ferentz is here. So, Mary Ferentz, thank you. It's not easy to, thank you. Listen, it's not easy to be the First Lady, but it's not easy to be the coach's wife either. So we respect and appreciate all that you have to go through as well. And so thank you. And thank you for being here. And Kurt Ferentz is with Ed Polak. And Ed Polak and I graduated from the University of Iowa together in 69. He was the most famous member of the class. And he was a great running back and went on to play for the Chiefs. But I just want to say that this has been a wonderful experience. It's been a dream for me to serve the people of Iowa. Never imagined I'd get a chance to serve longer than anybody else in history in this country. Now, 22. Every day that I'm in office, I break the record. So I kind of love that. But I'm looking forward to the new challenge. And I'm very honored that the President of the United States, President Trump, would select me to be the ambassador to China, the biggest country in the world. Probably the biggest challenge we have is to find a way to work with China to deal with the problems going on in North Korea right now, and to try to increase the trade and the economic opportunities we have between our two countries. But I'm so proud of the fact that we treated Xi Jinping and his delegation so well back in 1985 that he considers us Iowans old friends. And I hope that we can use that. I hope we can use that great first impression we made to continue to build on the relationship between our two countries for the benefit not only of the United States of America and the People's Republic of China, but for all the people of the world. So it's probably the biggest challenge I've ever taken on, but I appreciate very much the opportunity, and so many people are telling me that they're praying for me. And we appreciate your prayers, we appreciate your encouragement, and thank you. This is a great turnout tonight, especially when we're competing with iClub. So thank you very much. God bless you all.
That concludes the evening tonight. Thanks for coming out, and thanks for all of you for helping the Republican Party of Iowa.